live. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for stopping by once again. You are listening to your favorite Blockhead, the only podcast in the podcasting world that can somehow incorporate the Peanuts comic strip 1 minute and then be talking about MMA and warriors inside the octagon the next. This last week, we had UFC fighter Sam Alvey come by and really spill his guts about Fight Island, had a great time with him. Boy, it almost got floored by a lot of his breaking news about him going to middleweight. But in the meantime, let's take a breather there because we got a very exciting guy on today. As we start the show, thank you so much for those who have been tuning in to the updates on Ride with Dan USA. He is in Texas. He's getting set up on his new podcast. Things are looking great for my buddy. Continue to watch Ride with Dan USA. If you feel led to, continue to give to Mr. Daniel Hurd as he recovers from his accident and one day gets back out and continues to – he will continue to spread suicide awareness, but one day he'll get back on the bike and he will ride across America once again, continue to spread suicide. Thank you so much, everybody in the Blockhead Nation who has tuned in to his journey. So I thank you again from that from the bottom of my heart. Again, as always, guys, the YFB Network continues to grow. We just made a new addition. These wonderful group of guys and gals here known as the Grindhouse Radio. If I get this wrong, I'll be corrected by the gentleman I have today. 4 years in a row of being the best radio station on Long Island, New York. What a pleasure to have had two of them already. This will be number three. We'll be three down and one to go. This gentleman that I'm holding up in my hands, if this makes it onto YouTube, is my autographed picture of the gentleman I'm talking to today. And as I sport the merchandise and put the beanie on, ladies and gentlemen, I give you the one and only Mr. Steven Zambito of the Grindhouse Radio, better well known on the show as Zambo. Zambo, what's going on, man?
Hey, man, how's it going? That was – you did not have to go that far for me. You really did not, but I appreciate it. I really do.
And yet I do not retract anything that I just said. In the meantime, I am loving the beanie. I'm loving the new merchandise. I'm loving the T-shirt. I'm loving the autographed pictures that we have. So now I officially have you on. The last one will be Tom. But as of this point, I have to start with, I could go into your whole life story, and that's a little bit fugazi. What I will start with is this. Where did you actually, in your story, I know how Brim got started. I know how Kim got introduced into the Grindhouse Radio. Can you walk the Blockhead Nation through where Zambo got introduced to this group and how you have been part of the Grindhouse Radio ever since?
So, funny enough, I was going to a local media college here on Long Island in New York, and it was called Five Towns College. Still is. Still there. Okay. Not trying to speak in past tense, just I was there once. I attended a job fair, funny enough, during my first year there. And I'm like, you know what? Let me see what they have to offer. Maybe I can make some connections with, you know, Cox Media, iHeart Media, Connoisseur Media. Let's see what I can find. And I saw this dude who had this huge crowd about him just yammering and yammering and going on and on and on and talking and talking. And it turned out to be Brim. So that should give you enough of a detail of what he is. But I love him to death, so please don't take that as an insult. And he knows that too.
Sure.
So I found him and I listened to probably about maybe a third of the whole thing that he said. And after everyone left, he simply said, "Hey man, what's up?" And I shook his hand and I said, "Hey, just wanted to tell you I didn't get a chance to hear everything you had, but I loved everything that I've heard. And I would like to, at least for you, to take a look at my resume because it was a job fair, and just be like, hey, maybe we can work something together. If you like what I have on here, maybe we can try and work something out." And he's like, "Yeah, sure. Let me take a look." He looked, asked me a couple questions, and basically interviewed me right then and there. Right. And so I became a sales rep for his comic book company, Hound Comics.
Oh, okay.
And it worked out pretty well. I think I did it for about a good year, maybe about almost a year and a half, right? And as we went on, during that same like 2-3 month period where that job fair was happening, Kim came on board, and she came in from SUNY Farmingdale, and which was just another college on the island nearby. And she came in as an intern for, I believe, business relations, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. I don't really remember her position 100% because I was too busy doing what I had to do. But then our dynamic in the office was just so fluid that it allowed us to have this amazing dynamic. And eventually Brim just simply said, "Hey, Yeah, you and Kim have these connections with radio. So, you know, I have this name called the Grindhouse Radio. I've been sitting on it for a little while. And eventually he was just like, so what do you think we can probably do with this? Do you want to turn this into something? So Brim, Kim, and myself, we sat down in his office, which was very echoey, not, you know, soundproof at all, not like professionalism at all. And it actually was a lot of fun. And it worked out super well, like super duper well. And we sent it to a couple of friends of his, and they're like, this could be something big. This could be something big. Roll with this. And this was right as Joe Rogan was starting to get popular with his podcast, like just as right before he started to hit that bell curve of boom, popular. So we were writing, and this was even before like I did major research into where we started in the podcasting world. Like we started probably pretty early into when the bubble was about to burst, where boom, everyone had a podcast, everyone's sure. popular. Oh my God, celebrities left and right. So we had something right, and we did maybe two or three episodes in his office, and then it grew from there. Mm-hmm. And the rest is basically history. We grew from work relationship related to friendship related to now the closest friends that just happen to own a business together type of relationship. Obviously, we still treat things very much seriously when it comes to both, but it's still one of the coolest experiences to realize that this dude who I got a job with became a really good friend, and then we made something awesome together that's been going on so strong that has these awards now.
I love it.
That's pretty much what it is.
Beautifully put together, Zaman, because that sounds about what led y'all to current day, because I've been following you guys for at least a year, and sometimes those things get revisited. I am sorry I had to step away briefly for a second. The one thing you can't plan is when the dog decides to come in with your podcast. You can't plan everything.
That is very true.
All too well. And I have a dog named Marcy, who's a boxer, who's very sweet, but that doesn't mean anything to her. So either way, you know, Peanuts fan, name of a dog Marcy shouldn't surprise anybody. But as I've got you here, man.
I have a young Doberman named Bella, and she likes to laugh at leaves that blow in the wind. So it's just, you know, downstairs randomly, yep, 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 yep. And I go, oh no, please stop.
Whenever I have to do stuff at home, when I have to record. Struggle is real amongst all of us. Exactly. So now we got you in that position, just for those who haven't been listening to the Grindhouse Radio, if they tune in to a show, I kind of want them to know what to expect at this point. We know that Brim is the boisterous voice behind it. Kim is the one who really kind of holds the group together, but she does have the topics laid up pretty well. Besides being the tech-savvy guy that you are, would you say that, besides that being your only role, what roles do you feel like you really do that make this the well-founded roundtable that it is? I mean, I know it's tech, but there's got to be other things that you feel, other hats you feel that you wear.
Yeah. So behind all the tech and everything is me. And if it's not me, it's my left hand, Alex. My right hand is actually Tom on the show in terms of the tech. But in terms of my character, I guess I would say in the most PG-13 way possible, I'm the sarcastic jackass of the show through lack of better term. But I mean that in the nicest way, because it's actually a lot of fun to kind of turn my personality up to instead of my normal 6-7, maybe a 9 or a 10 or even 11, to be that much more rambunctious and kind of, even though Brim is very loud and very much commanding in his role on the show, and Kim being, you know, just about a close second, I think I'm, if not tied with her, or just slightly behind her, her head in that way. And Tom comes in when he has to come in, but when he does, he has a lot of good things to say, and I can't fault him for reserving himself until the right time. I can't help but award him for doing such a thing.
Yeah, I have to concur on that one. Man, it's befitting. It's not to belittle you in any way. It's what a lot of the shows that I hear. So that kind of jumps into where we wanted to go here, because the last time I had Kim on, I asked her to describe, other than just what podcasters and listeners here on the show, besides just that, if you had to describe each of the three, then what would be your description? And they were positive, but they were truthful also. So I'm going to start with the first one. For my listeners who are wanting to figure out all about what GHR is, how would you describe Brimstone the first time that they listen into the show?
Loud. Very loud. So please watch your headphone levels, without a doubt, if you're watching it with headphones. He is definitely one to, and as truthful as it is, it's also very funny because he uses his loudness in a very good way. For Kim, I would say smarmy, but in a good way, because she is able to curtail conversations and reel us back in. And like you were saying before in the introduction with her, just kind of roping everything back if we digress too far, which is great, because honestly, with if it was just me, Brim, and Tom, we would probably be talking about one thing PG related, and also we're talking about like the worst thing possible, and then we would lose probably 3/4 of our listeners in a matter of seconds. So Kim is really truly like the rubber cement that holds all of it together and keeps us bored. Sure. Tom, I without a doubt would say, is easily my right hand man on the tech side, on the editing side, and the production. So without him, my job would be 10 times harder, because we put so much love and effort into our show, it being not live, but being live to tape and post edited. It creates a lot of things that we want to just make sure things are right. We have a lot of compression. We have a lot of silencing, a lot of technical terms to basically get the best output out of each individual microphone that is on possible every single week. And that's why we take the care, like a good cake baker, to just add those little, as Kim would say, je ne sais quoi, to the plate for us.
Vintage Kim right there. And you know, that's actually well put when you say that about baking, because the phrase has been used that cooking is an art, baking is a science. There is some scientific development and technology that you guys work with behind the scenes to give us what we get and keep somebody like me coming back every week as you do. But I have to ask this one now. This is one I'm itching for, because as of now that I've introduced you guys to the other guys in the network, because remember, I'm just a guy who talks about peanuts and MMA and somehow makes it all work. And that doesn't always keep my audience. There are other guys in the group. The one talks about motor racing. One guy talks about sports and everything in between. There are other ones that talk about kayaking and fishing that are in the group. So there is a great variety amongst the network that's building, adding you guys here. But when I introduced you, I said, guys, one of the most recent episodes they had was the actor Atreyu from The NeverEnding Story. And boy, did they turn quickly and go, what? Do what? So that being said, you've had some big names coming in between, from Disney to even video games in between. So this is going to be a hard one. Is there a potential favorite episode that you have that just sticks with you? And could you share maybe the reason why it's considered your favorite?
Oh, my goodness. So I'm a video gamer at heart. Yes. I grew up with the Sega Genesis into the Nintendo 64. All through to most recent times with a custom-built PC, a PS4, working myself towards the 5 and the X series slowly. Yeah, I'm a very slow burn. I never get anything first day. I usually get it a year out or so, just to make sure the bugs are worked out and save a little extra cash.
Indeed.
I'm getting married, so it's a little harder to get. So I'm going to have to say, it was right before the release of the latest Super Mario game, which was Super Mario Odyssey. I think that was released a couple of years back. Mm-hmm. It was the first episode we have Charles Martinet on the show. He's the voice of Mario, Luigi, Wario, Waluigi. He's done a lot of stuff other than he was also Parthenox in Skyrim. He was the dragon on the top of the mountain. And a couple other of very interesting roles that he has done. And this man, I kid you not, is the epitome of kindness in an embellished body. Embellished is not the right word. In a human form. He is if I met someone who was a mixture of Bob Ross, Mr. Rogers, Robin Williams, and like Mario himself put together into this one 70-something-year-old man that I can't help but smile every time I think about him. And the first time we had him on the show, I think for about 3 to 4 days after, I just had this grin, this happiness that I just couldn't explain. It was like my inner child was not just satisfied. He was ready to like leave my body and let me be an adult.
Sure.
It was like that type of feeling. And I was like, whoa, wait a second. I don't want to turn into an adult too much. I know I have to pay taxes, but please let me enjoy this. So I'm like, please just at least stay a little longer. I have cookies. So it was just those type of feelings where I felt so fulfilled as a fan of Nintendo, but also as someone who just heard the right things at that right time. because I was going through a bit of a hard time at the time, which is a little too personal, but just hearing him talk and speak, it was just such a great reinvigorating moment for me to bring me out of the dark shadow of which I felt at that time. And then for that, it just made me remember, God, for years now, I will always remember that show.
You know, I think what we'll do.
First one with Charles Martinet.
I love it. And you know what? The thing is, I think what we're going to have to do now that you mentioned that, you've got my heart melting. I know the listeners are going to be wanting to tune into this. What we'll do is Zambo will probably email your favorite blockhead that specific episode, or at least make it to where I can
be more than happy to even get it right now.
See, there you go. There you go. It'll be available today on the blog. We'll make sure it gets uploaded for you guys to see. Yeah. This is good stuff. Either way, it will be available for the Blockhead Nation. This public service announcement is brought to you by your favorite blockhead. Go check out all the independent podcasters on the YFB network. This network was started to collaborate and to grow every single one of these podcasters and many more to come. Check out who we currently have. The Ray of JG podcast, The Paddler's Playbook, Loud and Opinionated with Russ, Casually Kicking It, The Burnout with Chris Barnett, The Sharpen Your Sword with Brock Richard podcast, and Talking Creative with Don and Ozeal. There are many more to come. There are some that are sitting in the lobby right now, ready to sit in the hot seat with your favorite blockhead. So the network is going to continue to grow. What we need from you, Blockhead Nation, is to go check out these other podcasts. Give them a 5-star review. Give them a rating. Subscribe to their shows. And let the world know that this is a group of podcasters who will get you through your week. We'll also live by the 3 E's. To educate, to entertain, and to edify. Go check out the YFB Network today. Not to pull you away from these good feelings, but what I have to ask is, I was calling you guys at the start of the year, and then all of a sudden this very weird 2020 came around, and all of a sudden we are in shutdown and in COVID. As I understand, you did contract it, but I'm going to ask a little bit. From your perspective, how did the show have to change? How did you guys go when you went back to the lab to kind of get y'all to where you are at this point? What, take us through a little bit of 2020 with COVID, with GHR.
Okay, so in New York, where we are stationed, we had a massive like statewide shutdown. So everything was closed. The only thing that was basically allowed to stay open were like hospitals, fast food joints, barely, and like new actual physical news stations. Right. We technically count as news under New York state law. However, we're more edged towards entertainment news. So therefore, we had a stipulation of we didn't need to stay open, so we took the safer route.
Sure.
So instead of doing our recordings at the office, we did it just like how you and I are talking right now. And the beautiful thing about Zoom and Discord and Google Hangouts is that we were able to record all our stuff separately at the same time, and then mash it all together into a beautiful stew and ship it out. We did that for about maybe 3 to 5 shows, I want to say. And we managed to get through a lot. And then we started doing the show again, in the office with a little bit of limitation.
Yes.
And then we only stayed in that, and we only stayed in our office and our studio for the recordings. And then we would just sanitize our way back to front to the door, lock the door and leave, just to make sure. But in between us going back to the studio for a limited time and doing it at home, I did contract COVID. And that actually delayed us going back to the studio even more. Thankfully to say, I only had moderate symptoms. I didn't get any of the breathing problems, and I don't show, from a doctor's standpoint, any like post COVID signs of, you know, problems like heart problems, you know, nerve damage, and like anything that would have been reported to be, this could be a problem after COVID. I haven't seen any of that, you know, praise be to whoever you believe in that case, because my goodness. But now we are fully back in, we are fully ingrained back into our studio and our office space. We have our staff back now. You know, from a business standpoint, our sales are moving again. We have deals with our partnerships coming up. In fact, I think we actually just closed something with Jägermeister, if I'm not mistaken, which is really, really, really cool.
So awesome.
And a couple other people like Transparent Sunglasses, which are fantastic. Margo, you are amazing. And I still owe you a social media post. So I'm sorry ahead of time if you hear this. I'm sorry.
You gave it on the blockhead hour. It worked out.
I'm just like, Jesus, please. No, I know, but like, I have to still, I promised her a photo and I'm just like, I need to get back on track. I'm a chaotic mess when I'm not like fueled by coffee. I don't know. I'm just always a chaotic mess. Let's just state that. But yeah, so it took us some time, but now we have people coming in every so often to, one, the building gets sanitized by a special cleaning crew, but two, we sanitize the office ourselves. We have disposable pop filters on our microphones. We have earpieces that we remove and sanitize and put into plastic bags that are labeled, like, for each person. Yes. Like, we make sure that everything as possible is taken care of, and temperatures are taken. You know, we have people sign a thing saying, hey, you weren't contracted. You don't have symptoms, and you weren't in, you know, contact with anyone who had symptoms within the past 14 days, all that stuff. Like, we want to make sure that if anything happens, if we have to contact trace, or if the state has to contact trace, they have points of reference for us. So that way we don't get maybe hit as hard if there's a fine or anything, or we don't get hit at all. And they go, oh my God, thank you. We can trace this back further. It's not just you. And you get, like, you guys are fine. And then they'll just move on. So whatever that is, we're just making sure that we have, I guess, all our ducks in a row.
Sure.
Because, oh, geez, that'll be horrible if we didn't. So yeah, there we go.
I mean, that is very well put together. I mean, again, it's just nice to be able to see that, you know, that was part of my evening at the start of the year. And selfishly, I'm just like, get back in there and have those lives and then have these podcasts that come out, because I'm still following you no matter what. But I figured It was similar to the style that's going on between you and I, which is great. Either way, PHR is growing and it's still coming in hot. I'm loving the content, guys. So you have mentioned that you are a video game fan. I have to ask this now. Mm-hmm. Since you now are on a podcast of a guy who insists that the Peanuts is the single most successful comic strip in American history, do you by chance have a favorite comic strip or a favorite comic book series that is a fond memory for you that you might want to share at this particular time?
As a kid, I've always liked the Non Sequitur series.
Okay.
But, and that's in terms of strip, but in terms of comic books, I've really have fallen in love with, if we're talking about classic heroes here, the Batman series and the Green Lantern series. Those were my two favorites. Shazam, I got into for a little while, teetered off, didn't really, it was doing something, and then I lost interest. But modern ones, I would say the Avatar series has been really good. Mm-hmm. The Avatar comic book series, which was short run, but still a very beautiful read. The most recently translated Legend of Zelda comic book slash manga series. Those are really good. And Moon Knight is actually something I just got into, and I love it.
I have to admit that one I'm not familiar with, but you have my attention at this point.
Moon Knight, pretty cool. That one and the Blue Beetle, honestly, is another one that I have to get into as well, because I like characters that are sarcastic in nature, but also have their weaknesses of like Spider-Man-esque. Like so Spider-Man 2 I've also read, but like not enough of it to really count it. But those characters are, they'll bust into a room and it's like, I think it was Moon Knight versus Dracula. And he literally bursts into the castle and goes, "Where are you, Dracula? You nerd? Where are you, nerd?" And he's like literally just taunting him. Obviously he was a little more colorful with his language, but it was actually really funny and how it worked out. It was just really well done. So but I do agree. But I will agree with you in Peanuts, because Peanuts is very good. I've always enjoyed it. I always watch The Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown during the holiday on Halloween, and then a Charlie Brown Christmas, Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, all the time, every year. I've done it forever. The fact that PBS didn't air it this year, or whichever channel, made me so upset. I was actually genuinely upset.
You know what? I will tell you, I don't mean to kind of cut you off here on this one, but it's because the two things that have blown up my phone more than anything else amongst my listeners and my friends in the last several weeks, one of them has been about The Great Pumpkin being on Apple TV this year as opposed to the primetime networks. And I kind of just said, look, I'm not going to justify anything. I'm not going to point you towards any news that could be false. It's just, this is where they're going to be. Yeah. I've had the DVDs for years. And again, it's just one of those, the times we live in, you either go along with it or you get lost in the shuffle. And then other people who are nostalgic that don't want to break away from tradition of every year sitting down and watching Great Pumpkin with the family or watching Thanksgiving with the family, all of a sudden they don't have that. Then they do petitions online. I'm like, you know, I guess you choose your battles in between.
Yeah. I completely agree. In the world of technology right now, we've aimed more towards streaming than anything.
Yes.
So the fact that I've had, like, I didn't mind going up into my attic, sweating my butt off for about 30 minutes, trying to find my old VCR and the old copy of The Great Pumpkin, which was great. because it still worked, number one. And number two, the VCR still worked too. So I was like, yes, I can use it. This is great. And it just, it made it much more satisfying to watch, because even though it wasn't on TV, I still got my smidgen of tradition.
Yeah, and you see, you know, this wasn't to kind of stereotype you. It's just one of those, since you like sarcasm, I was wondering if I said that, most of the time the other argument that comes back at me is usually, well, that's the longest one, but it's also bland. But it, the one that is the sarcastic one that had a big following was Calvin and Hobbes. And I'm like, look, I understand that. That was a great one, but it didn't have the longevity of how long it had been a comic strip. It didn't go from the 50s to 2000. This was a 10-year period of very good, very sarcastic, very spicy type of humor, and I don't deny that. I just go, that's their closest rival that I know of. Yeah, you could throw Garfield in there, but it's
maybe
just
Dennis the Menace.
Exactly. You can throw those in there, and I just go, but take a look at what the Schultz family's done. Take a look at, you know, the Peanuts movie in 2015. There's so many things I can pull as an example of this is where I stand, and there's always a few. But I get it. It's not everybody's cup of tea. It's very wholesome. It can be pedantic. But if you learn a little bit deeper on it, this is a guy who did not deny history either. He was very much in touch with what was going on in the world. But he brought it in a very delightful
way. He did not shy away.
Right. His message.
Yeah, that's, I think, how – I think how Schultz and his family approached it was a very, very smart way, because it brought people together without you simplifying the problem, but not shying away from it, like you were saying. I feel like that was, it was worth doing at the time, because, you know, the only other person I would think of doing it around that time would probably be Mr. Rogers. And even then, you know, he also did it in a subtle and his own way, where he made it, you know, there were very stark differences, but there was also very much like just very subtle, very, very calm ways to direct it towards the kids to say like, hey, it's okay because of X, Y, Z. This is not something you need to hate. You don't need to put hate towards here. There's no need for hate. Yada, 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 yada.
You wonder why I wanted Zambo so badly on my podcast. You have another gem that happened right there, guys. I have to ask this one now, since on the other end of my show, I'm a guy who follows mixed martial arts through and through. I'm not a practitioner, I'm just a fan, but I have to ask you now on your end, do you have any particular sports that you really follow, that you consider yourself a diehard fan of, or just some you watch casually? A little bit about sports on your end, Sam.
That's fine. So I'm not huge on the traditional sports, but I don't mean that in a negative way. I do watch the Super Bowl every year. Just also because it falls on, you know, when we have to watch football and things like that. And also the food is always fantastic. The Turkey Bowl, obviously, during Thanksgiving and all that jazz. Let's see. What else? The World Series, sometimes I'll jump into. The FIFA World Cup is actually one I will always watch, because that's only once every, 4 years? 3 years?
Yes, something like that.
But in terms of more gladiator-based, I would say MMA and UFC have been truly something I enjoy watching. I used to be a big fan, but I've teetered off recently, so I just don't really follow it as much, because things like the business have gotten in the way. And I used to do, when I was younger, I think my main lore towards UFC and MMA was the fact that I did Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu when I was younger. Awesome. And I did it for about 4 years, I think 4 or 5 years. I got up to, probably a little longer than that, considering I got to yellow rank 3, which was basically almost orange 1. Or Orange Zero in this case, at least through the belts that I was running. I was learning through Gracie, through the Gracie family's jiu-jitsu's ranking system.
And that is what I was waiting on. I was about to say, are you familiar with the Gracie style? Did you know, like, the first UFC one? Now you got my attention. Let's talk a little UFC, man. About what time period were you watching, and what time did you kind of fall off?
So I fell off shortly after – oh my God, who did that really rambunctious sidekick and literally snapped their shin in half? And then it went like
Anderson Silva.
Thank you. I was about to say it was either him or John Jones. And I'm like, wait, it's one of them.
Yeah, he that's did it on where, the second time with Chris Weidman is when he had that nasty swing.
That's what it was. Thank you. Yeah. That's what it was. And I was just like, oh, and that just made me cringe so hard, but I loved it. That's the last one I remember before I started teetering off. It wasn't because of that moment. It was just after that, life started getting a little quicker, a little more jump on the draw type of thing, or I'd miss the train. So I've always wanted to get back into it. I followed a little bit of McGregor. I've watched a little bit of McGregor, And as much as people like him, and a lot of people don't, I'm on the fence with him. He's very good at being the bad guy, definitely being the heel in this case, right, if you want to talk wrestling. But in terms of his fighting style, he's very quick, very fast, very aggressive, very close quarters.
Yes.
He's always trying to adapt himself to somebody else in the fight. And when they brought in him versus the boxer, I knew he was done. Yeah. I knew the boxer was done in the ring, but I knew that if you brought McGregor to his ring, McGregor was done. It's always been like a battle of the bands thing. Like if you give a bass guitarist a regular guitar and go, yeah, now you play that, they're going to suck.
That's how it works. That's beautifully said. It is, yeah. When he faced Floyd Mayweather, so, I'm just like, man, you know very well this is a money grab. I mean, I get the idea that you have a bucket list, but, you know, your MMA purist fans that are watching this that are sitting going, what are you doing? You don't want one of those moments that are happening, whether you like Conor McGregor or not. I agree.
Yeah, like it brought eyes. It brought eyes to both sports. Don't get me wrong. And that's cool. That's fine. It's at least an enjoyable event regardless of how long or how short the event was. But it was just a money grab. It was clearly just a money grab. It's fine. It's fine that it happened, though.
Yeah. I will tell you, as far as giving a closing chapter to Anderson Silva, in this case, he just faced Uriah Hall, and it was handled beautifully, as this is going to be possibly his retirement fight. He doesn't know yet, but he says he's going to go back to his camp. Mm-hmm. And there's not much more for the guy to do. He was given his exit at this point. All the guys were hugging him. Uriah Hall was crying his eyes out at the end of it, even though that's it. It's like my mentor now has become my opponent. Even guys like Israel Adesanya came in and hugged him. I think Dana White came in and hugged. So it was it was handled very well for Anderson Silva. Conor McGregor's just playing with all of us on social media at this point.
Yeah, like what I think with when it comes to UFC is it actually really warms my heart that there is so much respect in and of the ring itself, because they're really just guys training and then they fight, but then they hug it out at the end. They go, bro, that was amazing. You did great. You know, you were good too. I know you beat me, but you know what? I'm going to get you next time. And he's like, all right, you got that. Like we'll work on that. Like that type of thing, which always has been great. I remember this one dude and I at my school way back when we had beef with each other, but we didn't have a beef to where we would like be mad at each other. But whenever we got in the ring, we'd be like, you ready for this? Like, oh, I'm ready. It's like, all right. But it was like respect. There was still a respective amount of like, we didn't hate each other. Like if we honestly asked each other out for a drink at the end, we'd be like, yeah, sure. Let's go. Like, who cares? Like, it's just a fight. A fight's a fight. And at the same time, like, yeah, it's a fight of honor, but you don't let your testosterone get in the way of that.
Yeah. Because you're I have still to give that to you. An example came straight to my head when you said this, because I was listening to the audiobook of Chris Lieben, and he talked about how that is his relationship with Ed Herman. It's like we guys would like go out and we would fight each other, but then sometimes one night they got so heated at each other that they wanted to go out in the alley. When they got there, they're like, what are we doing? We hugged. They only agreed to fight each other if it was over $1 million, and they have never fought. Kind of reminds me of what you're discussing.
But that's a good thing, because then it shows like, listen, like you're sweating the small stuff here and then you want to take it out in the ring. Like, that's disrespecting the ring, and you're disrespecting yourself and each other.
Yes.
Don't do that. Like, set the high goal. Like, they did the $1 million. She's like, yeah, we're probably never going to get that. We don't need to ever fight about that crap. Like, let's not get the fact that you stepped on my toe. Like, whatever. Oops. That's fine. It happens. Go with the flow, man.
Exactly.
Buddy, that's honestly, presumed you told me to go more with the flow.
Right. I mean, again, whether you get back in BJJ or not, either way, man, you got my attention. You know, Zambo, we should probably talk some more MMA in the future. This is just fun. Either way, when I get Tom on, we'll kind of go through the same spill. But I got to ask you now, as I kind of let you get back to enjoying your day, I always give my guests a chance to share, if they heard nothing else from you, what is one thing that you want the Blockhead Nation, all the listeners, to take away from your experiences? Like I said, Kim was a big one about, it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. Brim was a guy that talks about, hey, yeah, I might be boisterous, but you always talk people up. And there's something about their philosophies that are there. I think I know which way you're going to go, but I'm going to let you roll with it. If there's one thing you want the listeners to know about you today, Zambo, or a philosophy, what would it be as we close the show?
Honestly, both of those are very good and very much well respected in my eyes, in terms of talk people up. And of course, not about the destination, about the journey. But personally, I would just simply say, just be kind to one another. Like the best thing that I can say is, if you're gonna remember me through this podcast, just remember that I'm a jack of all trades and a master of none, but don't ever shy away from someone who's trying to just simply use the mantra of be the person that Mr. Rogers wants you to be. Sure. And I guess I'll leave it at that. I hope that makes sense.
I think that's a mic drop in itself, man. I'm all warm and fuzzy across me. But, yeah, I can tell you, man, it has been such a pleasure to have you on finally, Zambo, and I appreciate all the help that you've given as I try to work with this new network to give these other guys a platform and try to build from the way up. And I know you guys have crossed paths with so many other networks. I'm kind of learning from them as well. But once again,
as
thank
always,
you so much for being on the show, Zambo,
me.
And I thank you for your time. You are welcome back anytime you want to, buddy, and great things
thank
to you
at
the Grindhouse Radio.
Much luck to you too, man, seriously.
You betcha. And I'll tell you on this point, guys, once again, keep listening to the shows. I'll give y'all updates when I can on Ride with Dan USA. You heard it here, Zambo of Grindhouse Radio. You're going to be able to find them on grindhouseradio.com. You will also have all the links today at yourfavoriteblockhead.com/blog. All the podcasting platforms are going to be available for their shows as well. You'll be able to follow them on the YFB network. I'll make sure I get my hands dirty and make sure that their stuff is promoted on this show and all the way across the networks. Thank you so much for listeners coming in this week and joining me for all these great guests. We'll see what happens as we get into the holidays. My guess is I'll probably be flying solo, but I will be back with you next Saturday, and we'll see you then. Same blockhead time, same blockhead channel.